some extra chairs. On those chairs, you can turn back this way now. On those chairs, you see books and such. These are things that's been given to the church. We've been putting them in the foyer, and people didn't realize these are books and things that, and CDs and DVDs that have been vetted and are good to go forth that are free to the church. Those are given to us to give away. So if you, in fact, just like that.
Y'all can hold those up. You see these books right here, these young ladies right here has, Gabby Gabby, and don't tell me, it is Gabby, and it's Phoenix. Phoenix is your sister. Phoenix, Gabby, and Abigail. Isabella, sorry. Anyway, you see the books here. They already are enjoying some of those books. Those are for you guys. On your way out, if you see a book, or from the next few weeks, you see books out there, There's deep theological books to children's books, CDs, videos. If you see something there on them back chairs, that's for you. Also, if you notice there are the cards, we are still going through cards that we received. If you did not know, we received a plethora of cards that there was no way that I could read myself, but we didn't want to just toss them to the side either. So we've been giving them out in groups. If you'd like to take those cards, that way you can take those home, read over those, and if there's something that's personal to the pastor, you can bring to me, but you can read over those cards, and that way anyone who asks me, hey, did y'all read the card that we sent you, I can honestly say that I may not have, but I'm sure someone did. The reason being is those cards were prayed over and such before they were sent out, and I just want to make sure they're read and recognized from someone from the church as well. So if you'd like to help out with the cards, they're back there also. Few more announcements I wanted to speak to. Let me mention this one. You heard me last week or the week previous, I'm not exactly sure, I can't remember. There was a shirt that was being made that people said, hey, we want those shirts. So Katie was heading that up and got with you guys. Well, now Annie said that this shirt's been made as well, and some people wanted this one. So if you wanted this shirt also, Ann is heading this shirt up. And she is going to, she has found somebody that will make them. And if you are interested in that, she doesn't have a price yet because it depends on how many they make. But this, if you wanted this kind of shirt, get with Annie, and she's got a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Free stuff in the back, the shirts. There's my SRT teams, we're going to have a meeting. I think I told some of you guys this week. It's going to have to be the following week because there's a different set of meetings I got to go to this week. But that's the next week. No service this evening. As we have traditionally done on Mother's Day and Father's Day, this is an opportunity after church today to go home and go treat your mom. Go call your mom if you can in any way to go and honor your mom. So Mother's Day, no evening service tonight. And last but not least, I want to put forth this coming Thursday. If you didn't know, every Thursday night we have a gathering. We come together, we eat. And then we have Bible study and go over our prayer meeting. David's been teaching that for me. He's not here this morning. He was asked to go to a place up a little north of Odessa, and he is sharing up there this morning. But it's good to see his family here anyway. Praise God. It's awesome to see you guys. But David couldn't... I thought you were driving him, Cindy. Oh, I just realized, where's David? I thought his driver was here. Anyway... David can't be here this morning, but he would invite you to come to those classes. However, this Thursday we have the Singing Men of South Texas going to be here. It is a men's choir that will be filling up the front of the church. 7 o'clock, we're going to have dinner like we always do. You can interact with them. They're going to be here eating before they start practicing, and then they're going to put on a presentation to the church. So everybody's invited. This Thursday night we're going to have dinner and then gather in the sanctuary thereafter to hear the Southern Men of Texas come and share with us for about an hour. I think that's enough announcements this morning. So, Pat, you want to come on up and share with us today? Father God, I do lift up my brother, and I thank you for bringing him back here safely today, Lord God, from College Station. And I just pray that you put a blessing upon him and his family for his willingness and his diligence, his obedience just to do so much that you've called him to do, Lord. And now you've asked him to open the scriptures for us. May we hear your word through him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, what is a mother's most important job?
What?
think about it. How many of you, your mothers kept you on the straight and narrow? For the most part. And for her, right? Yeah, I know you were on the straight. You were just on the narrow. But I can remember how many warnings I got from my mom when it seemed like I was starting to drift off, like maybe riding a motorcycle too fast. And of course, sometimes didn't have just a whole lot of effect, right? Just ride a little faster when you make that decision. But I do remember, like, there was one time I crashed out my bike and I made a couple holes in my hand through the gravel and that kind of stuff. And had to get a bunch of stitches, you know, and it was mom that ended up taking me to the emergency room. And she's like, oh, yeah, at the house were like band-aids and Vaseline. You know, and my heart was like, right in there, you know, just all mangled up. And she said, let me see it. No, mom. We're not looking at this. And, the things that moms do to try to keep the family in line. And I know I'm gonna steal a little bit of Frank's thunder here this morning from what I heard in Sunday school. I'm maybe preaching a little bit of his sermon this morning. But the passage this morning comes out of Matthew chapter 12. And it's about Jesus has been around ministering to people and doing all kinds of, what some would say, just crazy stuff. Been talking about things like he's the Son of God and people are just like, they don't know whether to believe him, they don't know what's going on, but his mom thinks that he's gone just a little bit off the deep end. And Matthew chapter 12 verse 46, and it says, and as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak with him. Never wanted to take him home. They really came to take him home. And kind of just give him the time to cool off and get his head on straight. And someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing there waiting to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and he said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister. And one of the things that really, I think, is unique about this church is the way that we're family. I mean, I enjoy messing with the kids, and I mean, I consider them like my own. And, you know, and just brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in Christ, this is family. And when we honor Mother's Day, it's also in our church family.
Amen.
And so I want to honor each and every one of you guys who keep us on the straight and narrow. And I just really appreciate it.
Amen.
Lord, we do thank you that you're a God. In so many ways, Lord, you provided us family, Lord, even sometimes when our physical family has failed us, Lord, or when things don't seem quite right. Lord, there's someone that you've placed there to step in, Lord, and to be that guiding person, Lord, that person to keep us on the straight and narrow, Lord, the person to pray over us. Lord, maybe even sometimes when we've drifted too far, that person, just like Mary and her brother and Jesus' brothers, Lord, just come and get us and pull us back. And Lord, we know there's a special thing about being at home, Lord. I just pray that as we go forth, I just pray that you'll keep us on the straight and narrow. But Lord, most of all, I just thank you for the mothers in our lives, Lord, that knows that are our shepherds and our cows. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Amen? Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of John. John chapter 7. I feel like the message that God laid on my heart this morning is a message that is not as humorous as many of the Mother's Day messages may be. However, a message I feel as though God has laid on my heart. Speaking of mothers, let me share a quick story with you one time that Miss Beulah shared with me. That made me think about it. Actually, it was, what's Buddy and Beulah's oldest son's name? Doyle. Doyle's the one who actually shared it with me the best. He said, I was about 4 years old, and I was throwing a fit in the front of the church. And as I was throwing a fit, my daddy picked me up and started carrying me out the door. And I did the only thing I knew to do at that point. I said, what's that? He said, I turned around and looked at everybody and said, please pray for me. He knew what was coming next. Amen. Seriously, guys, turn to the book of John chapter 7. And Morgan's going to start a video for you right now. I'd like you to watch this for just a second.
There are those who say that this is ordinary, but don't let that fool you. Mother will always be the bravest, least ordinary, most difficult, utterly challenging career that anyone ever hopes to lay claim to. While others might hear, diaper changer, food maker, laundry doer, carpool, bottle washer, sweatpants wearer, life on hold, want to be doing anything else for. The truth is, whether it feels like it some days or not, you are in fact a shelter from the storm. You are a cape of good hope. You are a warrior who will do battle for your children's hearts, souls, attention, innocence, education, and memories. Go to battle, my friends. This is your time. We will hold strong on either side of you. We will pray for those bottles through the dark watches of the night. And when doubt comes and children break, when adults fail them, and when they push and push as hard against us as the day we delivered them into this world, we will not be broken. We may ache and see cracks tear through our hearts, but we will get up again tomorrow, and we will load the clothes and the words that need to be said again and again and again. And when the world tries to claw at them, to break them, to smash the beauty in them, may our walls hold true. May the lessons we've taught, the truths we've lived, the life we've spoken into them come back easily, predictably, with wash and repeat ease. Kingdom business, Jesus work, this shaping of souls, this raising tiny humans. There are those that say this is ordinary. Don't buy it for a second. Mighty, you are mighty because you, Mother.
When I came across that video, it spoke to my message, but like Pat said earlier today, give my moms glory this morning. Amen for all they've done for you. And my mom too. Amen. As I said, I believe this is something that I feel as though God's laid on my heart for today about moms. But in chapter 7, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read quite a ways. However, it's a passage of scripture that I feel as though is important to see to be able to bring this back around to where it needs to be. But starting in verse 1, it says, after this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, since he did not want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. The Jewish festival of tabernacles was near, so his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea so your disciples can see your works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, you show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus told them, my time has not yet arrived, but your time is always at hand. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I testify about it and that its deeds are evil. Go up to the festival yourselves. I'm not going up to the festival yet because my time has not yet fully come. After he said these things, he stayed in Galilee. After his brothers had gone up to the festival, then he also went up not openly, but secretly. The Jews were looking for him at the festival and saying, where is he? And there was a lot of discussion about him amongst the crowds. Some were saying he's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he's deceiving the people. Still, nobody was talking publicly about him because they feared the Jews. When the festival was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple complex and began to teach. Then the Jews were amazed and said, how does he know the scriptures since he has not been trained? And Jesus answered them, my teaching isn't mine, but it is from the one who has sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he will understand whether the teaching is from God or if I'm speaking on my own. The one who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who has sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. Why do you want to kill me? You have a demon, the crowd responded. Who wants to kill you? I did one work, and you are all amazed, Jesus answered. Consider this. Moses has given you circumcision. Not that it comes from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses won't be broken, are you all angry at me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath? Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment. Some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they want to kill? Yet look, he's speaking publicly and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know he is actually the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he is from. As he was teaching in the temple complex, Jesus cried out, "You know me, and you know where I am from. Yet I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true. You don't know him. I know him because I am from him, and he has sent me." Then they tried to seize him, yet no one laid a hand on him because the hour had not yet come. However, many from the crowd believed in him and said, "When the Messiah comes, he won't perform more signs than this man has done, will he?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him. So the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple police to arrest him. And then Jesus said, "I am only with you for a short while. Then I am going to the one who has sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Then the Jews said to one another, "Where does he intend to go so we can't find him? He doesn't intend to go to the dispersion amongst the Greeks and teach the Greeks, does he? What is this remark he has made? You will look for me and you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. When some from the crowd heard these words, they said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some said, "Surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he?" And we're going to stop there right for now, guys. The message I want to put forth this morning that I feel as though God's laid on my heart is a message about the family, if you will, of Jesus. You see, Jesus was not the only begotten son of Mary. He was the only begotten son of God, but Mary had others. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Jesus was the only one that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. However, there was children by Joseph after Bethlehem. Jesus had several brothers. We see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 56, he had four brothers. He had James, Joseph, Simeon, and Judas, as well as sisters. We don't know how many sisters he had, but we can say that this was a rather large family. A family with these brothers, these sisters. There was Joseph, there was Mary. There was a whole lot of people. Can you imagine the family affair that must have taken place in Joseph's carpentry shop? It would just been a little bit. Anybody that's had kids knows when you're out in the shop trying to do anything, how they run everywhere and just knock everything over. You've been there, right? Think about that many hanging out in your little shop, because that's where they all would have been. It would have been an incredible affair to have that large of a family running around in there. Mary, what I'm trying to point out is Mary would have been a busy mother. It wasn't just Jesus she was raising. She had a whole family that she was raising up. And Scripture is silent on the life of Jesus from the time he was 12 till the time he was 30 or so. So about 18 years of mystery there. But we do know that Mary would have had this family and would have had the same issues to deal with as every other family of the day had. And I would submit to you the same kinds of issues all the way today with moms raising families. She still would have had to feed them. She still would have had to change them. She still would have had to bathe them. She still had to put the Band-Aid. She still would have had to get on to them. She still would have been that typical mother that every mother is. And tradition tells us that Joseph died at a fairly early age. So Mary would have been a single mom raising these kids. All she had was these kids. Now Jesus, the brothers of Jesus anyway, lived with Jesus their whole life. In John chapter 7, verse 5 that we just read there, it says that yet even though they lived with him, they didn't believe. They lived with him all those years, yet they still didn't believe. Mom been telling them. Mom knew. We remember the Christmas story. Mom knew who this child was. She knew who had overshadowed her. She knew who the father of Jesus was. She knew that he was the Son of God. But the brothers that had been raised in this house, hanging out, they had a little bit of animosity. There was a little bit of trouble there. In fact, in Mark 3:21, it says that they thought he was a little crazy, like Pat shared a while ago. They said, "Man, you're off your rocker a little bit." But Mary kept praying for her boys. She kept praying that they would understand, that they would realize whom he was. She kept praying that they would acknowledge whom Jesus was. It was hard for those brothers to live with Jesus. Think about that for just a second. It wasn't until after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection before those boys' eyes were ever opened. It would have been hard staying there with him. It would have been hard trying to live up to what he is. But they eventually do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, prior to Calvary, they weren't there. They were absent on the hill of Calvary. We see Mary. We see John. We see weeping at the foot of the cross. We don't see any of his brothers at Calvary. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and you know what it says next? And the brothers of Jesus. They weren't there on Calvary, but after the death, burial, and resurrection, they believed and were standing there when the Holy Spirit poured down on them. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for a praying mother who kept believing in her boys to be saved, kept believing that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary just kept praying that they would understand that Jesus truly is the Son of God. I share that point today to let us know that there is hope in our families for our kids on Mother's Day too, moms. That there is hope for those that have strayed away. There is hope for those that you've been praying for that have not yet come into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That if we continually be the mom, as that video pointed out, continually interject in prayer, continue to be the shelter in the storm, if we will continue, moms, to be the prayer warriors for our children, then God will continue to work in their lives. God will continue to move in their lives. Why? Because he is the Son. He is the one who poured out his Holy Spirit. He came and he died and he lived. He lived and he died and he rose again so that he could send forth the Holy Spirit to indwell each and every one of us that believes in him. Hallelujah. We have been given that gift of prayer to intercede for our children and those whom we love. Now, looking at this story here, there's a few things I want to point out in this passage of Scripture that I feel as though God is pointing out to you and I. And the first thing is, why wouldn't the brothers believe? I mean, they grew up with Jesus. Just like many of us have grown up in church, many kids have grown up in church, and then they take a right turn, they head away from the church. They don't actually believe. They grew up with him. They saw everything that was going on. Why wouldn't they believe? I can't help but think how hard it must have been growing up in a home where they didn't measure up. I mean, think about it. Jesus was sinless. Can you imagine what was going on? Why don't you act like your brother does? Jeez, look at your room. Look at Jesus' room. Whoa, I just lost something there. Jesus was just telling me about what my room used to look like. I was the good kid, just to let you know. It was my brother that gave all the trouble. Right, Mom? Ah, you don't have a mic. Yeah, but who believes anything in a lady's Bible? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble. In all seriousness, though, think about it. They had to live up to this all the time. Thank you. I think that might have been what pulled it off. I don't know. But they lived with Jesus, yet they did not believe. I could see them getting just a little bit jealous. Even with my kids, who were far from perfect, they were not sinless, yet they would say, "Well, how come and they'd point fingers. How come he's how come I'm getting in trouble and not him? Or how come she's not doing this and that?" And they'd point fingers one to another. Now, I found out later in life, poor little Corey was always getting set up. I didn't find out until after an adult that he was. I thought he was the wild child, and really his brothers got real good at setting him up all the time. Kind of late and after the fact, but can you see how these brothers would have had a hard time? They didn't want to buy into this. They didn't want to believe into this. That even though Mom would have been telling them these things. But notice what it says in verse 3 and 4. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judas so your disciples can see your works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while we seek any... For no one does anything in secret while seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." In other words, the brothers are saying, "Get out of here. Quit preaching at us. If it's real, if you're really who you say you are, and you're going to have this following, and you think you're the Son of God, and you know, you can hear them whispering this when Mom can't hear, because they don't want to get Mom's hand, you know what I mean? They're saying, just go.
Prove it.
Get out of here. Prove it. That's right. You think you're somebody? Get out of here. Go out there. You want to be famous? Get out there into the real world. If this stuff is real, go out there and preach it to them, but leave me alone. Leave us alone. That sounds like so many people today, doesn't it? So many people say things like that. His brothers might have believed in Jesus if he would just accept their lifestyle and quit preaching about it. If he would just change a few of the rules and quit pointing out where they fall short. If he would try to be more culturally relevant, is the term we hear today. If Jesus would just be a little more hip, his brothers might have accepted all that. But there's a problem. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And by being the same, he says, I'm not going to compromise. This is the word of God. And if you choose to listen to him, then you'll listen to me. If you don't want to listen to me, then you're not listening to him. And the brothers are like, well, go preach somewhere else then. Rather than say, you're right, let me follow what God's saying. They said, no, go preach somewhere else. Take that stuff somewhere else. Go somewhere and preach it to somebody else. Now, the brothers of Jesus here, they were believing what other people said. They wanted to go and hear what other people were saying rather than what they heard in their heart. They had to have known in their heart. They had to have seen as he was right, wow, you know, he doesn't do anything wrong. He has no sin about him. You know, and Mama tells us that he was conceived immaculately. They knew in their heart who he was. They just didn't like the preaching that he was giving them. They knew in their heart that he was the Son of God, but they didn't want to change who they were. And again, that's the problem we see today. So many people will go out there and say, well, what do the polls say that I should believe? What do the polls say? Whom do this person or that person say that I should believe? But folks, let me share with you this morning that no matter what the Gallup polls may say about Jesus, it matters what Jesus says to you. It doesn't matter what other people may say it means to them. What does Jesus mean to you? A.B. Simpson wrote a poem. It was over 100 years ago, but it's still just as pertinent. He says, what will you do with Jesus? For neutral you cannot be, for someday your heart will be asking, what's Jesus going to do with me? We need to deal with that now. What am I going to do with Jesus? Because we hear, we see, we know that he's real. Even though we know it in our heart, our mind says, just do this, just do that. Look at verse 7. He goes on and says, the world cannot hate you, but it does hate me. Why? Because I testify about it, that its deeds are evil. They knew in their heart who Jesus was. But he spoke out against sin. Those others, they had sin in their life. And when Jesus would have seen it, he would have spoke to it. He spoke out against the sins of the world. He called it by name. He loved sinners. Don't get me wrong here. He loved sinners. He was even their friend. But on their sin, he would not compromise. He loved his brothers. But when it came to sin, he was going to point it out. He preached against the evil, and his message was one of hellfire and brimstone, whether people like it or not. He would preach out against the sin, and he said, the world hates me. You go on. You're okay because you're trying to fit in with the world. I don't fit in with the world, Jesus says, for the one who sent me is not of this world. But if you'll listen to me, then you'll be with him, and you'll have forth coming from you rivers of life. Jesus was not able to conform to the world. He chose to conform to his Father and share the message of his Father. But his brother said, nah, I don't know about all that. In verse 8, he says, go up to the festival yourselves. I'm not going to the festival yet because my time has not yet fully come. Here's something else I want to point out about the brothers. They grew up with Jesus. In their heart, I have to believe they knew who he was. They'd heard their mama telling them. They'd heard their mama preaching to them. They heard their mama say that your brother is the Son of the Most High. They'd seen the lifestyle of Jesus. But yet the Bible says they did not believe. That did not stop them from being religious. The text says here that the brothers went to the Feast of Tabernacles. They went out and went to the temple. They did all the religious things, but they left Jesus behind. They went and did all the things at the temple the other Jewish people were doing, but said, nah, we don't want Jesus to come with us. Folks, religion is not going to bring you closer to Jesus. Only a relationship with Him can do that. Religion is not going to save us. Going to church is not going to save you, but going to Jesus will. Amen? It's Jesus who saves, not the church, not your religious repetitions. It's not sacraments. What saves us is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to acknowledge that. The boys were religious. His brothers were religious. They just didn't take Jesus with them into the religious places. Well, Jesus finally goes. He goes to the church, but he shows up late. Now, I have to wonder, again, how many churches today in America are filled up? I mean, some buildings are completely full, but they left Jesus behind. There's many folks gathering in buildings today with steeples on top that you would just call social clubs. He's not in their thoughts. He's not in their worship. He's not in their attitudes. It's about how well they play, how well they sing, and how what kind of internet connections and networking they can do for family and business ordeals. And so many times, Jesus is locked out. Now, you may say, well, how can that happen? It happens rather easily in the later stages. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Carla and I used to speak about this quite often, and we would talk about that Laodicean church. But it says there that Jesus was on the outside of the church building. He was there, but he was outside knocking, trying to get in. He was knocking, saying, hey, what about me? The church was popular. The Bible says they were popular. They were involved in the community. They were rich. They had everything going on. They didn't like declaring an opinion on anything controversial. They didn't want to be extreme one way or the other. The Bible says that they were lukewarm. They stayed in the middle of the road on every topic. But they were rich. They had family. They had all this stuff going on. But because of that, because of how well they had everything, because they were interconnected one with another and sang well, they thought, man, we're having church. And because they relied on their own understanding, because they relied on their own efforts, relied on their own talents, they didn't need Jesus anymore. And Jesus got locked outside. I pray that you, nor I, nor this church building or whomever would ever get so arrogant and so cocky with our studies, with our music, with our prayer life, whatever it may be, that we start relying on our own techniques and our own talents rather than leaning on Jesus. The brothers were religious and they were going to the Temple Mounts, but they left Jesus behind. He's hollering. He's saying, man, I'm standing out here knocking. In Revelation chapter 3, he said, I'm knocking, but you're not letting me in. Now, Jesus does eventually arrive. He comes to the Feast of Tabernacles. He comes in there, and he had something to say, as he always does. Now, I think there's a lot of churches out there today. Again, those buildings with steeples on top, they're more social clubs. You can tell oftentimes, because when you listen to what's being said in there, you don't hear Jesus. There'll be five steps to how to make yourself better, or five steps to make your family stronger, or six steps out of work on your car. There may be all kinds of stuff there, but you don't hear Jesus. You see, when Jesus comes into the church, you're going to hear. When the Lord works into himself, I don't care what the message is about, when Jesus is in the house, you're going to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection, and you're going to know that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can set us free. When Jesus comes into the house, he's going to speak. He always does. When he is allowed to speak, he is going to sound off. Jesus didn't change thing here. He came into the middle of the festival. He walks in and you know, all the people, they have opinions. Oh, who's this Jesus? Well, you know, I think he's this. I think he's that. People have opinions that were going all over the road. That hasn't changed today. However, on the last day of the festival, he made sure everybody understood who he was. It says he cried out. He got their attention. He shouted. He didn't just sit in the back and say, guys, can you listen to me here or you listen to me there? It says he got all their attention. This is important, guys, because when he got their attention, I believe he had his brothers in mind as he's looking out over the people that are gathered in the Feast of the Tabernacles there. And he looks out there and he's crying out to make sure everybody can hear him. He says, if any one of you is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Why? He says, because the water I will give him will be like a well springing up of everlasting life. Anyone who comes to me, I will give them the word of life. He didn't sneak around and whisper that. He didn't try to hide in the back and whisper that. He proclaimed it when he came into the church. And I would share with you this morning that he is proclaiming the same thing today. Anyone who comes unto the Father, anyone who comes through Jesus Christ will have the Holy Spirit placed within them. And from that Holy Spirit, in Acts 1:8, it says the power of God Almighty indwells them so they can become witnesses everywhere, that the utterance of the word will go forth everywhere. You will be empowered. You will have the rivers of everlasting life flowing from you. This mortal body is going to die one day. But the word of life is going to live forever. And when we proclaim that, when Christ is allowed to speak, the proclamation of heavenly glory is always going to go forth. Amen. His brothers were religious. They'd been raised with him. They had a praying mama. But it says after the Feast of Tabernacles, they still did not believe in him. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you and I. It says that he that knew no sin became our sin. He was nailed to that tree. And as he hung on that cross, we see Mary at the foot of that cross. She knows. She believes. She understands. And where are her boys? We see nothing of the boys there at the foot of that cross. In fact, Jesus looks down to John. He says, John, take care of Mary. Take care of your mother. In other words, he is saying, I'm putting my mom in your hands. It took the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ before his brothers would believe. They didn't believe on him until there was an incredible, miraculous working that took place. Now, before we get judgmental, I want to make sure we stop and realize and submit to you this morning that that's what it takes for any one of us in here to believe. If it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why would any of us follow him? Amen? It's because of that. There's been many people who claim to be God. There's been people who claim to be some type of deity. It's the very fact that Jesus was the only one that proved it through the miraculous resurrection of that body. By him coming forth and presenting himself, showing that they have killed me, but my God has raised me. I have defeated death, hell, and the grave, and whomsoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life as well. For I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, a house built not of hands of this world, so that where I may be, you may be. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you, so that I can come back and gather you all unto myself. We're going to gather together in glory one day. Why? Because of that miraculous resurrection. The boys finally believe. They see that miracle. As I said earlier, Acts 1:14, on that day of Pentecost, when everybody's gathered in there, it says they were all. I love that word all right there. They were all. Three letters, but a big word. All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit fell down upon them and they proclaimed the Word of God. Here's the gist of the message this morning, guys. Here's what I want to make sure we understand to our mothers and anyone else who's been praying for other people. We understand, we recognize the anguish a mother has for her children who are lost, just as we saw in that video. We know that Mary had some children who were saved and some who were lost. She knew she had Jesus Christ as her son, but she also knew his brothers and probably the sisters as well. They didn't believe. You say, well, Pastor, it'll take a miracle for my children to be saved. You just don't know how far my boys have gone. You don't realize how far my loved ones have traveled. You don't know how far and how hard my children have turned their back on God. I raised them up. But it would just take a miracle to get them saved now. Folks, I would submit to you, it took a miracle for any one of us to get saved. But praise God, we serve a God of miracles. And because we serve a God of miracles, and because he gave us the gift of prayer, because he has allowed us to be able to intercede for those in whom we love, our children, our brothers, our sisters, because we have that ability, and because we can go to him and share our heart's content. This is that mama that was leaning on the door that was crying. How many mamas have gotten on their knees praying for their children, praying for their redemption, praying for them to get back in Christ, knowing full well that they have been raised upright? The brothers of Jesus were raised upright. They were raised in the same house. They knew him in their heart, but they just couldn't put their mind around it until that miracle. Folks, I'm sharing with you this morning, the miracle that saved the brothers of Jesus is the same miracle that will save our children today. We just need to get on our knees and pray. You know why we celebrate church on, this came up a few Sunday nights back. We celebrate church on Sunday rather than any other day of the week because the first day of the week was the day he arose. He was resurrected. And what a glorious day that is, because the day he was resurrected was the day that the miracle was wrought that I can have freedom for eternity in him. And what a wonderful day this would be if you chose to do the same thing. There is no better way to honor your mother than to stop and say, I choose to spend eternity with you in God's glory. If you're here this morning, or whether this is by YouTube or DVD or whatever, if God is speaking to you, there is no better way to honor your mother than to truly accept the God in whom she's put her faith. Mary prayed for her boys. She lifted up those prayers, and her prayers were answered. Why? Because of the miraculous works of the resurrection and the Holy Spirit that indwelt her and then indwelt her sons. Moms, this morning, don't give up praying on your wayward children. Don't give up praying for those who have strayed away. Because just as Mary, your prayers can be answered too. I understand a mother's worry. It's kind of part of the job description. And the greatest worry that any mother has, I think, is for her children's safety. But I would say the greatest worry that a Christian mother has is for the salvation of their children. And I understand that this morning. But the great thing is, better than I understanding it, my God understands that. Because he tells us through Peter, he says that God desires that none should perish. No, not one. He desires that everyone would come to a saving grace with him. He desires that all would bow that knee this side of glory rather than the other side of glory. He wants to hear in your heart whom you are. And when we have praying mamas lifting us up, God's going to continue to interject in the lives that miraculous work of Jesus. Praise God, we serve an incredible God, a miracle-working God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that same boat as many of you may be today. And I would share with you and remind you that your prayers are precious to the Lord. Just as Mary's prayers were precious unto him, your prayers are precious unto the Lord. Don't give up on your boys. Don't give up on your girls. Don't give up on your children in general. Don't give up on that loved one, the nieces and nephews. Continue to pray. A miracle is in the making because of the prayers of many of our mothers. And what a special Mother's Day it would be if you was to get your life straight today and answer those prayers that your mama's been praying. Moms, don't give up, because God hasn't, and he's listening. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you may say, but my mama's already been promoted to be in his presence. What better way to memorialize her then than to accept him today? It says in the scripture that the angels rejoice when one comes to know the Lord. When the angels start rejoicing, your mom's going to know. Man, that's my son. That's my daughter. Jesus said he came and he lived and he died so that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whoever professes with their mouth and believes in their heart that he is the Son of God and he rose on the third day, he said, so shall they be saved. Hallelujah. It's not a doctrinal thing. That is a God thing. Amen. If you're here today and you have not accepted Christ, you may say, but Pastor, you don't know how bad my sins are. You don't know how far I've strayed. I may not. But isn't it great I serve a God that there's nothing too deep, nothing too big, and nothing too far gone? As long as there's breath in your body, my God is knocking on that door. But Pastor, I go to church every Sunday. Been going to church since 9 months before I was born. Religion doesn't save you. It's your decision to trust Christ. Your mama may be praying for you right now. What better way to honor her than to honor her prayers? That's your decision to make. I can't do that for you. I wish I could pray everyone into heaven. Even Jesus himself said, gosh, I wish I could just gather you up just as a chick would as a hen would her chicks and bring you all together. But he's been glorious enough to give us our own free will. Where are you this morning? Is your mama speaking? Has your mama been praying for you? Or maybe you're that mom and you're about ready to give up and say, it's just no hope. There's just no hope. There was someone in my mind that one day I had wrote off and said, there's just no hope. And now I see them and I'm like, wow, I'm glad that it doesn't depend on me. It depends on my God. My God's a miracle working God. Will you accept that today? This altar will be open. I'd love to pray with you. The brothers of Jesus grew up with him and still didn't believe. But when they saw the death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit, they went, they chose Christ, and the Holy Spirit filled them. And just as Jesus said, out of them flowed rivers of life. And those same rivers of life, the Word of God will flow from you if you choose Christ. What's your choice this morning? I'm not saying to go out and change this, that, or the other. I'm saying just accept Christ and let Christ change you. He's the one who will clean you up. You can't do it on your own, but he sure can. Let's all stand together this morning. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Chris and the guys are going to come up and lead us in song here momentarily. But if God's speaking to you, you may say, well, this is Mother's Day. I don't know about getting saved on Mother's Day. Guys, it's God's day. And on God's day, we honor mothers. And why not honor our mothers by going to God? Now, you may be here this morning and you want to pray for your nieces, your nephews, and interject yourself or whatever it may be. Praise God for that. Let's pray and do what the Lord tells us to do together. In one accord this day. Father God, I just come before you. First, Lord, I thank you for the mothers that are here. Those who have diligently and willingly given their time and their heartache and their pain. I know there's been my own mother and then watching the mother of my own children. I've seen them cry at night. I've seen them worry over their children. I've seen them have pain not being able to intercede because of our wayward ways sometimes. But God, I thank you that you hear the prayers of moms and dads and all who call upon your name. And when we put our faith in you, you will do and ask and be, or you will have us do and be in at what you've called us to do and be, and you will bring peace and mercy in our lives as well. But God, when you hear our prayers, I know they come up to you and you will speak to those one way or the other. God, may we lay our children at your feet, at your altar this day. But God, most of all, as we have gathered in this place together, may we truly, truly humble ourselves and quit being religious and seek your face. For you said, God, if your people who are called by their name, your name would turn from their evil ways and repent of their sins, you would hear from heaven and heal their land. God, may we ask that healing to be upon us this day. And may we truly turn, repent, and walk forward the way you've called us to do, Lord. Be with our moms, God. Honor them this day. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your mercy. Let them feel your grace. Speak into their hearts and let them know that you're on the job, that you're watching over their sons and daughters, that you're still Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this morning, if God's telling you to pray, will you pray? If he's telling you to come to this altar, come to this altar. Maybe he's telling you to pray where you're at. Maybe he's telling you to go across the aisle and just take a brother or sister's hand and pray with them. But will you do what the Lord's called on you to do this day? Be what God's called you to be as we sing. Thank you. To continue to pray for those that may have strayed, those may never have surrendered their heart to the Lord, but also too to honor your moms and give them a phone call and let them know you love them. Amen?
Amen.
Speaking of moms, Carolyn's coming this morning. Miss Patty's mom over there. And Carolyn's coming. She's known the Lord for a long time, she said, but God's spoken to her heart today and says it's time to come and actually move her membership and become a member by statement of faith with the church this morning. So everybody in the court and say amen today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll see Julie over there,
okay. This
is where you hold your hand up and you enlisted. That's what they did to me. Amen. Good seeing everybody this morning. And honey, you're still here. I thought you'd have a baby by now.
I thought so too.
Well, you're about to. Dad. I know she's about to be a mom. We need to hurry and get her out of here. No, praise the Lord. We're better to have a baby, I guess. Hospital, yeah. Oh, remind about the books. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Remember on your way out, the books and cards and DVDs and CDs, all that's free back there on those chairs. And we got a lot more we're going to bring back out. As that goes, we'll keep replenishing. So help yourself. Look into that. Guys, have a blessed and glorious day in God's day, in God's world. Amen? Amen. Keep looking up in all you say and all that you do. Brother Stephen, do you mind praying for us this morning, brother?
Thank you.